coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen. Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for.
Fucking bagow! You're done!
And Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit.
Gareth. It's like a name that tried to be something else, but it got stuck.
Huntsville Home Video. Now playing.
The following movie is rated R.
Today's episode of Huntsville Home Video brought to you by the phrases, oh shit, and god damn.
Shit!
And how is that motherfucker not dead?
What the fuck?
An all action-packed edition of Huntsville Home Video today. My name is Jack Spade, your movie nerd, with your movie nerd in training, Leanne Foster. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you today?
Oh, I am well.
I feel action-packed as well.
We are going to be talking about what I said last week was probably the greatest action movie to come out in the last 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about The Raid Redemption.
Ooh.
You wanted an action movie. After last week, I felt we needed to pick it up a little bit after the down and dreariness of Requiem for a Dream.
Right. We went from complete sorrow to just full-on violence because we needed to lighten it up.
and that's how we do it here at Huntsville Home Video.
Mm-hmm.
You come in looking around the video store, you want some action. Motherfucker, I'm going to give you some action.
Gonna bring it.
So would you say that I brought it? Leanne, what did you think about The Raid?
Holy fucking shit!
Yeah!
Dude, it was amazing!
That is the correct answer, my friend.
That fucking rocked.
Dude, isn't that movie
I didn't doubt you, but I'm like, I don't know what I'm getting into. And I'm like, and I kept thinking about the whole premise of, okay, you're going up a building, and then holy shit, dude.
Uh-huh.
Also,
uh-huh.
I did what you asked me.
You kept track?
I kept track. Now, I don't know if this is below or above par. I'm not sure. But let me give you the criteria for which I recorded my oh shits.
Okay.
I didn't do any I didn't do any damns. I didn't do any oh shit. I went oh shit. Oh damn. Oh fuck. Like I only recorded those.
Okay.
I did have 56.
That's a good number. That's a good number of oh shit.
I literally sat on the couch and I'd watch it and be like, oh shit, tally mark.
That's 56 in an hour and 40 minute movie.
Yeah, I'm not even kidding.
That is almost half of the number of people that died in this movie. 121 deaths in this movie.
Wow.
And you got 56 oh shit.
I literally had to count my tallies.
Yes.
I had several.
Oh.
Several.
Fuck, I love this movie so much.
Dude, I get it now. I totally get it.
The very first time you asked me for a big, dumb action movie, we reviewed Shoot 'Em Up,
mm-hmm.
which you can check out at huntsvillehomevideo.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you loved that movie.
Right.
And that was more just gunplay,
mm-hmm.
over the top kind of wackiness. What would you say you enjoyed more, the style of Shoot 'Em Up or the style of The Raid?
This one.
Yeah?
The Raid.
Okay.
Yeah. And before, if you'd have asked me, I probably would have said Shoot 'Em Up because of the gunplay. But no, this one was fucking killer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't think you got 56 oh shits out of Shoot 'Em Up.
No. And just the choreography and just everything of the fights was just mind-blowing. Like,
right?
Like, I'm a big John Wick fan. And I didn't know we would get more advanced than John. Like, John Wick is ridiculous to me. And this one was just insane.
So
and beautiful.
And I'm glad you brought that up because this was going to come up eventually. I just love action movies. If
right.
they're well done, I love a good action movie. The John Wick movies were great. John Wick 3, the guy that played Mad Dog in The Raid, the guy that,
mm-hmm.
You know, which one he is?
Yeah.
He was in John Wick 3. He was one of the people that helped with the fight choreography. In fact, he was one of the two guys at the end when John Wick just kind of like lets them go. They just kind of like walk away.
Uh-huh.
Which is good because I'm like, I love you, Keanu, but you're not fucking up the Raid boys.
No. I'll have to watch it again because I didn't catch that.
Yeah. He did, you know, they're just like, nah, we're good. You know,
right.
We're just going to walk out here.
I remember him doing that, but I didn't remember that was Mad Dog.
That was
That's
Mad
awesome.
Dog. Yeah, yeah. And like whenever, after this movie came out, whenever another action movie came out, it was like, oh, so-and-so from The Raid. I'm like, oh, it's got The Raid boys? I'm in.
We good.
Yeah, we're good. Mm-hmm. Some of the Raid guys were in The Force Awakens, that scene when Han first gets back to the Millennium Falcon or whatever, mm-hmm. like the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the Raid boys are in there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. There's Wu Assassins, which is a show on Netflix. The guy that plays Rama in this one, the main character,
mm-hmm.
He's in that. Watch the shit out of that. That was great.
Okay.
Like, I'm telling you, if you could give me the premise to any movie, and if I thought, the Raid boys are in it, I'm there. Day one.
Top marks already.
Yeah.
Wow. I get it.
The director of this movie, just a fat white dude from Wales.
That's amazing.
I know. Like, I didn't expect that. Mike Shinoda did the soundtrack for this movie.
Okay, I looked that up at the end because I noticed that I thought it was Deftones, but it was Chino from Deftones doing the song. So I Googled it and then realized that who I think I'm still going to marry, Mike Shinoda, was behind the American score for the movie.
Mike Shinoda does it for
you. I've always loved him. From Linkin Park, by the way, if you don't know. And if you don't know...
Yeah, poo-poo on you.
Ever since high school, man.
All right.
Oh,
he's like, did you have on that college ruled notebook, Leanne Hart, Mike Shinoda?
Did I tell you about my notebooks in high school?
No.
Okay, so I had binders for every class because I was organized that way. And I had, you know, I had to have the ones that have the clear thing on the pocket on the front.
Okay.
You know, so you can put, and I had a different Linkin Park picture for every subject in school. And my mom's like, where'd all the ink out of the printer go? And I'm like, I don't know. Just printing out band photos of Linkin Park.
It went into Mike Shinoda's sweet, sweet complexion.
Mm, I love Mike Shinoda. But anyway.
We can explore this more if you want.
It's okay.
We can talk about your love of Mike Shinoda. I had no idea. I thought you were...
Yeah, no idea Mike was my guy?
No.
One of my guys?
I thought Colin Farrell was your dude.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Through the course of this... podcast, we've learned that Leanne has many men who she thinks is hot, who she would paint the fence for immediately. So it shouldn't be a shock that Mike's on the list. I don't discriminate. I don't have to have a top one. I love them all. Can I just be that way?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike Shinoda, very talented, very artsy.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally makes some great music.
Occasionally. Oh, shit. I mean, I can't say that I own everything he's done.
Okay.
You know.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, are you going to go out now and find the Raid score because your boy is on it?
No, I won't be that way.
Okay.
No, I'm not that way.
Okay.
No, it's not like Colin Farrell where I tried to watch every obscure movie that he did, you know.
Like In Bruges?
Like In Bruges or God. The Lobster.
In Bruges still cracks me up that you've seen that.
Hey, but I loved it, so.
I mean, it was a great movie.
You know. But yeah, no, anyway.
So yeah,
oh,
the motherfucking Raid.
Ooh, so freaking good.
In fact, I texted you earlier this week because on my Facebook memories
mm-hmm.
from 9 years ago, my memory came up when I saw this movie in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of high-fiving in this movie theater. like my oh shits were probably higher than 56. My high fives for my buddy that I was with was probably about 56. You ever been to an action movie where you just high five someone?
I'm one of those people that when I'm watching a movie or even if I'm at a concert, I'm this person where if I get super excited about something that happened, I'm an arm grabber shaker. So I'm not, I mean, I would have high fived you if that became the rule. But other than that, I'm just going to like pow, pow, pow on your arm or just shake your arm.
All right.
Because I have to get it out.
That's respectable.
But if you trained me to be like, hey, we're going to do high fives instead, I'd have high fived you.
I mean, that works too. That's acceptable.
Okay.
In fact, during the Raid at one point, it was not only my favorite kill in the movie,
mm-hmm.
but my favorite action kill probably ever. And I'll see if you can figure it out when we get to it.
You know what my favorite one was?
You know what your favorite one was?
Yeah, I think.
All right, we'll get to them.
We'll get to them. All right.
But when that one happened, there was the jump out of the seat, the oh shit, like me just like smacking my buddy on the leg, like,
yeah.
Holy shit, did you see that? And then the high five, and then the sit down.
Love a good leg slap.
Oh.
That's such a good bonding moment. Love
right?
a good leg slap, you know?
This movie I went to in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And then went to again the next day.
Understandable. I'd have done the same.
Because I had so many oh shit moments that I'm sure I missed a couple of them when I was leg slapping and high fiving.
Exactly. Exactly. I watched this one twice, of course, and I watched it back to back in the middle of the night. And yes. I was like, oh, I got to watch it again, and just got such a kick out of it the second time.
It is incredibly shot. It is incredibly choreographed. It is incredibly paced.
Yes.
A lot of action movies, you'll get, hey, here's like a quick action scene in the beginning to get you hooked. Mm-hmm. And then we slow down for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Here's another action piece. And then we slow down for 20 minutes. And then like, maybe here's the big third act action piece, and then we send you home. Not the raid.
Right.
No, no, no. There's maybe about 10 minutes of downtime in this entire movie.
Right. But it was greatly done at the times when you needed it, you know, like at certain parts of the movie where we do kind of slow everything down so you can catch your breath, but then it picks right back up.
Yep.
So it was done perfectly.
Let's get into this fucking cinematic masterpiece that you love so much.
Also, I tried really hard with the names, and I think I've got everybody correct.
Okay?
Because I was reading subtitles, and I Googled, all right? So Rama is our good guy, right? Okay.
Yes.
So we open up to Rama, who is getting up in the morning or in the middle of the night. He's getting up. He meditates, and he's working out. He is gearing up and practices his sweet moves. Kisses his pregnant wife goodbye, and he's gearing up. You can tell he's police or SWAT or whatever.
Yep.
And as he leaves, we assume he's talking to his father, who says, "I'll bring him back." So, where's he going? So we cut to him and the SWAT team, which is led by Jaka?
Jaku?
Okay.
Are
you sure?
Maybe it's Jaka. It might be Jaka.
I think it's Jaka.
I think you're right. I think it is Jaka.
I think I Googled it.
Motherfucker, I had a notebook for every class because I'm organized. I got that shit.
And they're on their way to the raid, and they're in a very different looking SWAT truck than what we would assume, than what we would see in America. It was very different, I thought.
You thought? Okay.
I thought, right?
I mean, it looked very, you know, militaristic the way I imagine a SWAT truck
okay.
to look.
All right, okay. Well, the target is Tama.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Wait, what is his name?
I think that's it.
Okay. Well, don't judge me. Did you not write it down?
No. I got a bunch of other notes.
Okay, so the target is Tama, and he is the legend of the underworld. He is worshipped as a god, right? And he's been untouched for like 10 years, and he's in a 16-story building, and he's renting out rooms. And at one level, there's a narcotics level, and there's talk of these two guards, one being Mad Dog, who's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
He's the muscle. And then Andy.
Yep.
A-N-D-I. Andy. Uh-huh. Andy, who is the brains of the operation.
Now, how awesome, like, you haven't seen anything yet, but how awesome of a concept is this?
It's perfect.
It's so simplistic, but yet, holy shit, this is fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me, like, a drug lord has an apartment just in the middle of town, like a 15, 20-story high-rise. Mm-hmm. He just runs it from the top floor, and no one can fucking touch him?
No.
But these guys are going to try to touch him?
Right. Now we're in a video game.
I'm in. Right? Yes, we're in a fucking video game.
We got 16 levels in this video game.
I'm in.
Yes. So while they're kind of discussing the rules of the movie, the rules of the raid, we get a glimpse of Tama, who's just busting these motherfuckers in the
right.
head. Like, it came so fast. Just he shoots the guys in the head, and then they fall onto this tarp, and then they get to the last guy in the gun jams. And also, the guy who played Tama was fucking fantastic.
Oh,
he was a great bad guy.
Great. He was one of those mustache twirling type villains, mm-hmm. but like reined it in just enough.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he's completely insane.
You're right.
But he controls it so well.
Uh-huh. And there's something in his eyes, too.
Yeah.
Like, he just has those psycho peepers.
Mm-hmm. Psycho peepers. I love psycho peepers. I fucking love psycho peepers. The gun jams, and he like just rested on the guy's shoulder. He's like, just hold that for me for a second.
Yeah.
And then he goes, and there's a drawer. Okay, what a fucking madman drawer of just bullets, loose bullets, just loose rolling around in there, and a hammer. Like, you have a whole drawer dedicated to loose bullets and a hammer.
Right.
That's insanity.
Correct.
In the most beautiful form. And so instead of getting the bullets to put in the gun, he just gets the hammer and knocks the fucking shit out of this guy like fucking cattle.
Fucking brained him.
And I cheered.
Yeah. And here we are
cheered.
10 minutes in.
Here we are 10 minutes in. So now the team gets to the building, and there the lieutenant is waiting, who I glanced at the scene, and at first I thought it was Tommy Lee Jones. I got such a weird glance, and I went, is that Tommy Lee Jones? I went, oh, no, that's not Tommy Lee Jones. Like,
how the fuck do you look at people?
No, I don't know. Maybe I have that thing where I don't recognize faces. I don't know. But I just glanced across the screen and I went, is that Tommy Lee Jones?
God damn it.
And it wasn't.
No, it most definitely
was
not.
It was not. That was the lieutenant, and he's there waiting. And
I'm going to laugh about that one for
right?
a while.
It was so odd because I went, you idiot. That's obviously not who that is. But it was just such an odd side glance that I don't know what I was doing.
If
but I will say, if we Americanized it, Tommy Lee Jones would play that part.
Oh, my God. Whew, okay. Well,
it was funny even to me. That's why I had to bring it up.
They are trying to Americanize it.
Oh, fuck. That means they're going to fuck it up.
Possibly, yes. It hasn't really been talked about since about like 2018, I believe.
Okay.
But the dude that's attached to it, I like his work.
Okay.
Joe Canerhan, he's done movies like, most recently he did a movie called Boss Level on Hulu,
mm-hmm.
which was great. It's basically like the action version of Groundhog Day.
Oh.
Have you seen Groundhog Day?
No.
Oh. So it's a time loop movie.
Well, I gave you an O.
Oh, God damn. Oh, hang on. Let me add Groundhog's Day to the list.
Yeah, add that.
But yeah, so that was a great piece of action. Not as good as The Raid.
Okay.
He did the A-Team movie, which I thought was spectacular. Everyone seems to fucking hate that movie, but I thought that was
Oh, I never watched it because people hated it so
much.
Oh,
my God. Stop listening to people but me. Like, only listen to me. We've established that people are stupid. People said the A-Team was dumb. Ergo,
they're
wrong.
I didn't know you then.
That's a fair point.
I didn't have you to steer me straight.
That's
why you're in my life now.
Yeah. That dude like has done a lot of really good, solid action movies. And
okay.
He's actually at last, because originally Gareth, the director of this movie, wanted a trilogy.
Gareth.
You're not a fan of that name?
Gareth. I don't know. It's like a name that tried to be something else, but it got stuck.
Yep.
Is it not?
It's like a name that tried to be something else, but it got stuck. Yep.
That's really what that is to me.
Well, your dad wanted to name you Garrett, but he had a lisp and he hated being called out on it, so
exactly.
We just called you Gareth.
Gareth, we just created that name to make him feel better.
Oh my God, that was well played, Foster. Well played.
That's just my thoughts.
That's a good thought. You scribble that one down in your Mike Shinoda notebook one day?
Yeah. Well, I tried to draw the LP logo perfectly.
Yeah, you did.
Because I did that.
God.
The backwards P.
Oh, shit.
So anyways, who's Gareth?
That was my, the director of The Raid, Gareth Evans.
Okay, the white dude.
The white dude from Wales.
See?
Gareth. He wanted to originally make a trilogy. He made The Raid 2, which was also great.
Okay.
But then just kind of lost interest or fell off track with making the third one, so it's presumably never going to happen.
Hmm.
But I believe at last I read, he was still kind of attached to at least produce an American version of The Raid, and the last time there was any movement on that was, you know, quite a few years ago, so maybe it won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if it does, I mean, probably not going to be as good as this one.
No, but we'll go to the theater.
Oh, yeah.
We'll go see it.
I'll go see it. I'll go see it. I'm like, okay, boys, you got a lot to live up to.
Come on.
Why'd you put all these fucking Americans in this movie? Like, they can't hang. Like, I love Keanu Reeves, but you go back and watch a John Wick movie, he can't hang with them Raid boys.
That's what I'm scared I'm going to go back to John Wick and be like, that's a slow.
That's what I'm saying.
Fuck Constantine. Get out of here.
Like, don't get it twisted. Like, I love the John Wick movies. I love The Matrix. I think that's one of the best sci-fi movies of all time. And the action in there, the fighting in there, it's good, but you can tell when you take an American actor, or any actor for that matter, it didn't have to be American, but if they're not, if they haven't been training this way all their life, you can kind of tell.
Right.
It's the fight looks cool, but there's a lot of like quick shots. There's a lot of cuts.
Well, you know, it's a choreographed thing. It's shot. It's a movie. Like this one, I kept trying to find the flaw, and I couldn't find the flaw. It all looked so amazing. The only thing that I could see was when you picked a guy up by his leg and was able to perfectly throw him into a wall. That's the only thing I'm like, okay, somebody's on a wire there or something. But like, as far as the fights and the things landing, and I mean, it was so seamless.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, the other one is just a trick of photography and choreography, you know, all that kind of stuff. So.
And in there was a interview that Gareth Evans was doing one time. He actually sat down with Mike Shinoda. He was at this big assembly. They showed the raid. They had a Q&A after.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him, like, my God, like, how did people not get hurt making this movie? And he just flat out says, like, a lot of people got hurt.
Right. Some things just land.
But it looked so fucking good. It was so worth it.
It's for the art.
Right? Exactly. Suffer for your art.
Otherwise, you're not an artist.
Correct. Absolutely correct.
So they get to the building where the lieutenant is waiting, and there's this exchange where he's not very happy about the rookies on the team, their potential fuck-ups. He wants to keep them to the back. Our good guy from the beginning is a rookie, is he not?
I think
he's a rookie. Yeah, Rama's a rookie. So they get into position, and also, they're making these fucking hand motions like they know what they mean. I think that's all fake. I think it's just like Morse code. It's just all fake. It's just useless.
For those of you that can't see what's going on right now, Leanne is just making random.
You can't. What does this mean? What does this poll mean?
That means
this
like,
means semi honk honk is what this means. It means blow your horn, semi man, because we've got no other entertainment.
Blow your horn, semi man. God damn it!
Like it's just fake. It's fake.
You and your fucking Wheaties today. You are on point.
I slept last night. It was great.
Hey, all right.
It was amazing.
What does that feel like?
So anyways, they get in and they start getting the residents one by one. They take that TV guy, the guy who's watching just TV down at the bottom, just minding his business. They strangle him the
just
fuck out.
Murked immediately.
Uh-huh. And then when they go to get through another door, there's a guy there who's just trying to get medicine to his wife. He's a good resident who lives there. And so Rama kind of saves him from being roughed up and is like, we'll get you to your sick wife, because his wife is pregnant and he can relate. You know, she's kind of bed rest, it seems like. Yeah. So they're going to help him get to his room. So then they start going up the hotel. We get the first level clear. We're just taking them all, you know, just tying them up, getting them down. Second, third, fourth. And then we get to the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And this is when shit starts going down. So the team comes down the hallway, and a boy, unfortunately, comes out of the bathroom. Just had to go to the bathroom at that particular
moment.
Stupid
kids fucking everything up.
You dumbass bladder. So he sees the guys, sees the SWAT team, and they try to make him just stay calm, stay there. But no, he takes off and he runs. And he goes through a door, and the lieutenant takes a shot as the kid goes through the door, which was phenomenal.
Phenomenal, but also unrealistic, because in 2021, he'd have shot him as soon as he came out of the bathroom.
Exactly. Yeah, that's how we roll now.
Yeah, we're getting
the Americanized version, and then it would have been over.
Yeah.
Like, there would be no movie. Because
yeah, the rest of the movie is them just casually working their way up, taking him out floor by floor.
Yep. But in this movie, the kid runs through and he yells to another one like that the police are here. And I love how they shoot it, because as he yells it out, the bullet comes through the door. It's one of those follow the leader bullets or whatever that song, the corn song was. And it comes through the door and it goes through his neck. That was also an oh shit moment.
That's exactly how it sounded, too.
Exactly how it sounded.
Oh, shit.
But anyways, the kid ends up yelling that the police are there, which is heard. And then it's passed along until it gets to an intercom, which goes to Tama.
And then it is all fucking over from here.
Fucking on, and they're watching it through the cameras. Tom is watching it through the cameras, and he locks down the building, and he calls the neighbors. They know what to do, which are snipers from the other building, who just start taking them out, taking out the SWAT team one by one, and or they shoot the guy first, and they're like, huh? Let him scream.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so fucked up.
That was a great bit. And then every time you just see a door in the apartment open, you're like, oh, this is going to get bad.
Yeah.
This is going to get so bad.
Right. Because the residents, who we'll call them, they're going to attack these people. They're going to attack the SWAT team. And it's just coming from every fucking door, every angle. And that one guy walks up to the window because the guy's screaming and gets shot through the eye, through the goggles, like,
yeah, never ever go to a window in a shootout. Like, you're like, oh, what's going on here, thunk?
No,
you dumb fucker. What you get?
Everybody knows that screaming is bait. Come on.
Right.
That's a bait call. Come on. and they're in that one room where the guy's tied up and he does that, you know, contortionist
shit.
Yeah,
like pops his shoulders or whatever. Comes out with a machete under the fucking table.
Holy shit. And he's just taking out SWAT members. It's just insane. And then at one point through all of this mess, Thomas shuts off all the lights and he sends a message throughout the building, which was that we have an infestation and we need to take them the fuck out. And if you help to clean our place up, then you will get free residency here, or permanent residency here at the Violence Towers.
At the Violence Towers.
At Blood Towers. That's what it is.
At Casa de Violence.
Casa de Violencia.
Very.
I don't think that's really how you say violence, but, you know, it sounds exotic.
Let's go with it.
Sounds good. So the SWAT team, was this like, this wasn't a stairwell, but it was like an open hallway or something?
Yeah, so we basically have the residents that are coming from an elevated position. So they're shooting down at the SWAT and just laying them out. I loved the shot where the lights are out and the one guy like shoots the flare or whatever and then sees the reflection, the shadows.
Yeah, the fire from the gun or from the shot lights up and you see the shadows moving.
And then, just like, oh, these are where these fuckers are at. Pop, 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 pop.
Ugh.
Just anarchy.
Uh-huh.
And it's so fast-paced, they don't even give you a chance to breathe.
Right, and I love through all this, like, the camera is so shaky, and it's like you're in it. Like, you're in this shit with them.
It is shaky, but it's not... They don't do a lot of quick cuts. They don't do a lot of cutting away from the action that a lot of American movies do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're kind of like, oh, you get little glimpses of stuff to see and let your mind kind of put the pieces together.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you're right, the camera is shaky. It makes you feel like you're in it, but it doesn't cut away.
No, and you're like crouching with them and going through doors with them. Yeah, so it's shot remarkably. And at one point, I think it's Jocko who wants the lieutenant to call for backup, but this is when we start get the story going.
Uh-huh.
We're putting the pieces together, but we find out that no one knows that the team is there. So the lieutenant has them there, and it was not a call from the department.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got, keep that little nugget of information in your minds.
And right away, too, when you see this lieutenant, even though he's not Tommy Lee Jones.
No, he's not.
He looks a little sus.
He does look sus. He does look a little nervous.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now in this shootout, you know, I promised you a big dumb action movie. Like, at this point, were you thinking, oh, this is going to be like a gunfight for the next hour?
I thought it was going to be a lot more gunfighting than it ended up being.
All
but
right.
This is just the first level. This is just the first floor.
We just dipped our little pinky toe into the into the violence of the raid. We got that gunplay out of the way.
Yeah.
Because now we get the team retreating. We get them on the rebound. We get them into an apartment. In one of the apartments, and dude just starts like axing his way through the floor.
Oh,
they're
Jesus.
Like trying to get through there.
Yeah,
because they're
trying to drop down through floors to get the fuck out of there. Is what they're doing.
And in this sequence, we basically get a dude that gets tossed out a window. We get a motherfucker that gets axed in the shoulder.
Yes,
homie gets machine gun through the floor as he's like getting his way through the floor. And then Rama makes a fucking fridge bomb.
Oh my God.
Takes a propane tank, throws it in the fridge.
Which, brilliant thinking, by the
way.
Yeah.
So good.
Puts it in the refrigerator, holds it up, and then... It's a fucking mess.
And this whole sequence, this all happens, we're only 30 minutes into the movie.
No, I thought, what the fuck am I going to do? What the fuck is going to happen?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So all that happens. And when that bomb goes off, that really startles Tama, who's really kind of more worried about how many paying residents he's lost.
Right.
And he's like, get their stashes. That'll cover their losses or whatever. He's just such a good shitty guy.
He's a good villain. Also, you know, a responsible landlord.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you got to protect your investments.
I mean, they're not getting those security deposits back.
No, they're not.
Because a lot of them are
shambles.
Dead. And they're dead. Super fucking
right, and
dead.
And they're fucking dead.
Yeah.
So after the bomb, like you said, I thought, oh, this is going to be like gunplay a lot. Then we meet the machete gang.
Yes.
Machete gang. Machete.
Great tracksuit, by the way.
Machete guy. Yeah. Rama wakes up, and who is the guy who's hurt? But I looked it up. It's B-O-W-O. Bowo? We're just going to call him B.
Let's just call him B.
So B is really hurt. He's been shot. And so Rama wants to take B to room 726, which is the guy from the beginning who had a sick wife, who was just trying to get medicine to his sick wife.
Yep.
He was like, maybe I can get some help there. So they go that way. But in the hallway, they are met by machete wielding residents.
Just the roving machete gang.
Oh my God. Dude's, and it's just so fucking fast and amazing. And like, just the shots where, like, that one where Rama like stabs the guy in the leg, but doesn't just stop there. He just pulls it down his fucking thigh.
Just eviscerated that dude's leg. And this isn't
throats, taking out knees.
And this isn't just Rama versus like a guy or two.
It's a gang.
He's fucking up like 12 dudes. He's throwing bows, as you like to say. Just throwing elbows, throwing knees, going like everything is a kill shot. Like everything is just trying to incapacitate these dudes as quick as possible. I love when he just like with his little knife, he'll like hit a guy with an elbow, turn around, and then stick the knife backwards in the guy's throat, just rip his fucking throat out.
Right.
Like you said, he just ripped the dude's leg apart, stabbed some prick in the middle of the throat.
Yeah.
While he was holding up his boy.
Oh, my gosh.
Right in the fucking throat.
And I don't know if it's here or like later on, but like the ones that got me. Can you imagine taking a knee to the fucking face?
Yes.
Can you? Oh, did that happen to you?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, tell me about that story.
It's not really that exciting.
No?
But I had a buddy who was super into MMA. And at the time, I wanted to work out. And
oh, okay.
So I worked out with him.
Okay.
And we would just go and spar, you know, and he never went full force. He just kicked my ass.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple times where I got a little cocky and
of course,
you know,
that's not shocking to anyone.
Right.
Here.
No, no.
But does that shock you? Baker's dozen? No, it doesn't.
At one point, my buddy, I was sparring him one day and I kind of like ducked a punch and like got under, you know, got behind him and then just like jumped up and put him in a rear naked choke.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, shit. And just like instinct took over. I'm like, I got to commit. And I jumped up. So like I lifted my legs and my knees were like tucked in his shoulder.
Uh-huh.
And I was just squeezing for everything I had, trying to choke this dude out, trying to get him to tap one time.
Shit.
Very calmly, he just reaches back, grabs the back of my head, and then proceeds to somersault forward.
Whoa!
With all of his weight crashing down on my chest. Cracked a fucking rib.
Were you half lung then?
No, I had both lungs at that time. Yeah, thank God.
You might not be here.
I know, right? But then I was like, oh, I'm good. Let's take five, and then I'm good. And then one of the most useful strikes in mixed martial arts is the Muay Thai knee strike. Where you basically just, you know, like you try to put someone in a tie clench, which is basically like as you're facing them, you put your hands around the back of their head like this,
uh-huh.
And then you want to pull them down and your knee up.
Right.
So pop, pop.
Yeah.
And like I took one of those.
Oh.
It doesn't feel great.
I wouldn't think it would. Did it break anything?
No, because I mean, we weren't going full force. We were just, you know, kind of playing whatever. He was kind of showing me like, the defense for that,
mm-hmm.
which is not just block it with your face. Although these dudes were just blocking it with their faces.
Right.
One of the better stories, though, is as time went on, like, I mean, this is like the most super effective workout I've ever done. Cause I mean, you're just like burning fucking calories like left and right. And a lot of my friends were like, dude, you're looking great, man. What are you doing? I'm like, I'm just working out with my boy Chris, you know, doing some,
Fighting, motherfucker.
Yeah, right. So everyone was like, oh man, I want to get on that. So a buddy of mine came in with his girlfriend. His girlfriend was a fucking gamer, man. She can't, like, she came to spar. She was throwing punches left and right.
Okay.
Like, her dude was like, just sit down a little bit.
Oh.
So we're trading off. We're trading off sparring partners, and my boy Chris is sparring this chick's boyfriend. And I don't know why he decided to do this, but he was so Chris basically showed us this defense move. If someone kind of gets in too close, you have your hands up for a guard, just start throwing your elbows out to kind of make some space, and then you can start like jabbing and punching again, right?
Okay.
So this dude's reaction to that was to just put his head down and put his fist straight out like he was Superman and just put his fist into Chris's chest, leaving all this shit open. And Chris just kind of uppercutted him one time, you know, with gloves on and controlled force, busted his nose, fucking knocked him on his ass.
Oh, no.
His girlfriend's response was, dude, get up. You're embarrassing me.
Yes.
I was like, yeah, what's up?
What's up? Oh, man.
So, yes, taking a knee to the face sucks.
Wow. Yeah, I can't imagine. One of those, we'd be done.
And like, and these knees in the raid are fucking brutal.
Oh, my God. And there's a lot of just taking heads to the wall or the floor and just pop, pop, pop,
yes.
pop, pop. Like he does that one guy just like five times, like just down the wall.
Just elevators him, like smashes it into the lamp.
Uh-huh.
And then like six inches down, and then fuck you. Such a great sequence.
It's fucking insane.
At one point he gets a billy club and he's fucking dudes up with a billy club and a knife.
Going it around. Like it was insane. It's just everything. I just, so many oh shits. And he takes them just one by one. He just gets rid of them and he clears the hallway. And luckily he, Rama shoots one of them, or the injured guy shoots one of them. I can't remember, but then that gets the attention of more machete people.
More machete people.
More machete gangay to come to floor 7. And luckily, before they get there, though, and find Rama and B, the guy from 726 lets them in. And we kind of get a breather. Kind of get a breather here for like a second.
A brief moment.
A brief breather. And
then I love how this movie takes the action. And even in the moment where they're letting you catch your breath, it's still tense as fuck.
It was. That's why I couldn't count all my. Like I had so many of those moments. And so the guy in the apartment hides them behind the wall. But the machete leader comes in and he's like, let's look at he wants to look at all the apartments to see if anybody's hiding anyone. And he starts taking his machete and stabbing it through the wall.
Yeah, because there's a secret compartment that Rama and his buddy are hiding in that the guy stuffed him into.
Right. So the guy's stabbing his machete through this wall that they're jammed behind. And Rama's trying to be quiet, and it's just a mess. And finally, in the last stab through the wall, the fucking blade goes through Rama's cheek. And it's just there and trying to be quiet, and it's just sliced into his damn face.
And that hurt me more than a lot of the other shots in the, because like a paper cut is one of the most painful fucking things.
Oh my gosh, amputate! It's the worst.
Just getting that little blade through your cheek. I'm like, fuck.
Blade through the cheek, and then having to sit there and be quiet, and it just sitting sliced into your face.
Yeah. And like I said, at this point, we already just experienced all that fucking ass kickery.
Uh-huh.
And now we have tension?
Right.
Fuck, what are you doing to my heart rate?
It's got everything. And this whole time, too, I was like, wipe the fucking blood! Wipe the blood! Oh my God, he's gonna see the blood! Oh my God, he's gonna see the blood! And so luckily, he is smart to kind of, I guess that's what he was doing, which holding his hand up to the blade, so as the guy pulls it out, it wipes the blood off of the blade.
Which I thought was a nice touch.
Super smart, super smart. So the machete people leave the apartment and they keep B in there because he's greatly injured. He's been, oh no, this is where they they have to dig the bullet out of his belly.
Yeah, that's right.
And the guy only has a butter knife.
Like a spoon, baby. Like,
He's like, do you want a spoon or chopsticks? And so...
just fucking do it.
Oh, and the screams were terrible trying to dig this bullet out with like a flat knife. So that was super painful. And the resident tells Rama, like, Tama's got this place under complete control. And even if you make it to him and you fulfill your mission, you're going to have to fight your way out again.
Right.
Like, you're not just going to make it to the top and win. You're going to have to fucking go out the way you came in. And also here, the resident mentions that he's seen the old man before, the lieutenant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And says, you're not here to do good. Think about it. Open your eyes.
Yeah, which is a great line.
Ooh, you're not here to do good. I hope I get to, that's one line I hope I get to throw out. I have several.
And you've been doing great with them the last couple of weeks. You've been busting out movie quotes left and right.
Thank you. You were proud of me yesterday because I noticed a scene.
Yes.
In South Park, of all things, if you watch the episode Cripple Fight, where Jimmy and Timmy fight, I went, this looks familiar. And it's pretty much almost a shot-for-shot remake of the fight in They Live.
Which we reviewed episode number 2. Check it out at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com.
Throwback. So Rama leaves the apartment, and in the hallway, he hears a man screaming, and as he approaches, it's machete people. They've tortured somebody.
People.
It's machete people. Is that okay that I call them that?
I just love that, just the different variations of the machete gang that you've thrown
machete,
out today.
Machete, machete. They're all here.
The machete people.
The shetty peeps.
The gang machete.
Gang de la machete. And then there's another epic fight, which he has no gun. He has no weapon. He's just taking these guys out with his hands who have full on fucking machetes.
Yeah.
And
again, every shot, like he's deflecting, he's parrying fucking machete blows, cracking dudes with fucking elbows. He's just straight up karate, fucking karate, karate, karate. Fuck you. Fuck your kneecap. I'm going to take this shit out. I'm going to hit you with this bow in the face. Bam. Elbow, motherfucker. Fuck your machete.
Fuck your kneecaps, motherfucker.
Just wrecking dudes.
Also, that one where they're out in that open hallway and he throws that guy down and he breaks his back over that railing. He just kind of folds over the railing in the wrong way.
Uh-huh.
Oh, dude, it was nuts. So he takes them all on and he shoves one of those through. And this probably was my favorite kill.
Okay.
Maybe, because I just sat there for a second. He shoves one of the dudes through the door and it's broken at the bottom.
That was it.
Yes, I knew it. Yes, I knew we were friends.
The greatest fucking kill.
Dude. And so he shoves the dude through the door and there's like a broken, jagged piece at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And then he grabs another one and just kind of grabs his head and he like jumps through the door and then drops him down on that jarred piece of the door.
Impales his fucking neck. And then just holds his head there for a minute.
And of course that's what you would do because everything stopped, like time stopped. When I watched that kill, like literally I held my breath. I was like,
That for me in the theater, I still remember that kill because that was me jumping out of my seat and then like not standing straight up, but just like ass off the seat, like, oh shit. And then just like as Rama held the dude's head and was silent, I'm like, had my hands up. And I'm like, did that just happen?
Did we move? What do we do?
Oh my God. And then just like sitting back down, not even looking to my buddy to my left and just high five, eyes glued to the screen.
Yes.
That was the greatest. And I've seen so many action movies. I've seen so many creative kills.
Mm.
That was number
beautiful.
One. That was like that was a perfect cherry on top of that fuck you sundae.
Yes. The perfect way to describe it. Oh my God. Yeah. No, that one got me. That one was my favorite too. Just drops him on that fucking door. And then, and also I want to mention like the camera angles, how they like, they'll show the fight from above and in the middle of it. And it's so great. And then Rama and the head machete guy, kind of duke it out. And Rama wins by pushing him out the window. They both go out the window and they fall on the one fire escape, the one balcony that's on this building they fall onto.
Just also
the one.
Also, I need to back up one time because one of my favorite lines in the movie happened earlier when you know the leader of the machete gang is in the apartment and the guys are, oh, there's nothing here. Like, what do you want? You know, and he's just like, shut the fuck up or I'll bleed you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, shit. Like, that's a phrase you need to break out.
Yes. Like, oh.
Someone comes giving you shit around the office. You're like, you need to shut the fuck up or I'll bleed you.
Because it's not an I'll kill you. It's an I'm going to string you up. Yep. I'm going to find your artery. I'm going to puncture it. And I'm going to drain you out of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Your life's going to drain out of you.
And coming from you, it's so much more terrifying with your sweet, bubbly innocence. Like say that line, but put a little Galesville on it for me. Go ahead.
No, I don't want to. No, it's too much.
Do it.
I can't do it.
God damn it. All I've wanted.
If you give me copy for a commercial late again, I'm going to bleed you.
I'll take it.
I'm going to bleed you.
I'm going to bleed you.
I'm going to bleed you.
You heard? I'm going to throw some bows.
Oh, man. So anyways, yes, so they find the one damn balcony on this place, and they fall to it, and Rama is badly hurt from that fall, and he's disoriented. I also love that he gets into the apartment through the window, and the residents there, they're so fucking strung out. They're like, where did he come from? Like, so he's disoriented, and he's walking down the hallway, and he's having visions of his wife and all this shit, and thank goodness he is saved. He is grabbed by Andy, the brains of the operation.
Which, a quick aside, when he gets that flash of his wife, you know, the pregnant wife, I just thought that when that kid is in school, mm-hmm. and, you know, you always get bullies in school. You always had the cliched playground threat, my dad could beat up your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, motherfucker. Not this kid's dad.
No.
No.
My dad will bleed you.
Rama gonna come to your house in a whirlwind of fists, knees, and other sorts of violence.
Fists and fury.
And he's just gonna fucking light your dad up. Fucking bagow! You're done!
Fucking bagow!
Fucking bagow!
You're done!
You got bled!
I don't know why that's so funny. Fucking bagow! So he's grabbed by Andy, which we there's a little pieces of Andy earlier in the movie that I didn't talk about. But like he notices Rama on camera. So we know they have a connection somehow. We find out that Andy is Rama's brother. We're going to find that out. But anyways, he gets saved in the apartment. And meanwhile, the lieutenant is with a couple other men. And the lieutenant, I think, wants to leave, but Jaka doesn't because he needs to find his men first. He's not leaving without his men because he's a stand-up guy. And he questions the lieutenant, who is he working for? Oh, so we know he's a dirty lieutenant. So Jaka heads out to collect his men and then is attacked by Mad Dog.
Holy shit.
And so they kind of have a moment where they draw upon each other and Jaka has the knife and Mad Dog has the gun. And he kind of directs Jaka where to go and he just puts the gun down. He was like, I don't want to use these things. It's like ordering takeout, like squeezing the triggers, like ordering takeout. He wants to use his hands.
And we should point out to someone that's never seen this movie, Mad Dog is not a big dude.
He's little.
He's not imposing.
No.
He is, you know, he's a scrawny dude,
mm-hmm.
little scrapper.
Right, but little and lethal.
Uh-huh.
He can move around.
Because
the height difference was great in that shot to see Jaka, like how big he was compared to Mad Dog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then when as soon as he puts that gun down and he's like, we can sell this. Like, man, I don't fucking need this shit. You're like, okay, this motherfucker's crazy.
Like, oh, God.
And we're about to see some shit.
Yeah, so they have this amazing fight.
Now, going into this, we have already seen Rama take on a fucking fleet of machete wielding tracksuit wearing motherfuckers.
Right.
Did you think that a single fight between Mad Dog and Jaka was going to deliver? Like, did you have any thoughts going into this?
I didn't
this
have any. I knew it was going to be epic because when he put the gun down and that was his philosophy, I was like, oh, this motherfucker is a fucking insane.
Yeah.
It's going to be insane. And it was. And it just, and that's really the scene where I'm like, this looks so freaking real. Like, how do they do what they've done in this movie? And so they fight and it's amazing, but ultimately Jocko loses.
Never stood a fucking chance.
Never stood a chance. And as Mad Dog, I love when, you know, like Jocko's still alive, but you know it's over, and how that disorienting sound kind of comes about.
Yeah.
And you don't hear it. You only hear like the big pounds from the hits, like, and they're so fucking loud. Like, I just felt like I was in his ears. Like, that's what you would hear as you're dying. Just so, the, like, you're just hearing your blood and then just.
Right.
Like, oh, my God. It was fucking amazing. And so Mad Dog finishes Jocko. We lose Jocko. And then the movie kind of cuts back to Rama and Andy. And this is where you find out that they're brothers and they hadn't seen each other in 6 years. And then Rama only finds Andy through preparation for this raid. Like, you're stuck on a bulletin board telling me that I've got to kill you in this building, you know, and wants to take him home, tells him he's going to be an uncle. But Andy says this is where he belongs because he's good at it.
Yep.
He said, this is what I do best. So Andy leaves Rama in his apartment, and Rama doesn't want to leave without his men. So, because he's a good guy. They're good guys. And let's see. Rama ends up finding the lieutenant and the one remaining cop,
mm-hmm.
I believe. This is what happens. And Rama wants to complete the raid.
Goddamn right he does.
He wants to go. And the lieutenant knows that Tama is on the 15th floor. That's where he resides in this video game. So they're going to go through with the plan. And up on the 15th floor, Mad Dog and Andy have returned to Tama. And I love
when they meet up at the elevator.
Yes.
Andy and Mad Dog. And Mad Dog is just dragging Jocko behind him.
Like an animal.
Like an animal. And Andy's just like, that's not the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't fucking care. I didn't show up empty handed.
Right.
Like,
yes.
Like, fuck you.
That was the big deal. So they go back to Tama, and Tama is questioning Andy, and he's a very paranoid individual. And he like has this thing where he wants to see Andy's hands and be like, yeah, you did come back empty handed. And he knows that Andy betrayed him because he's got cameras set up, and the
everywhere. Cameras
don't lie. And he stabs the knife through Andy's hand onto the desk and makes him watch where he pulled that guy where he pulled Rama into the apartment. And it's just so good. His whole dialogue about, you know, I wondered who this person was to make you disobey me or whatever. And he was like, but does it matter? Because you're almost already dead anyway.
Right.
And then he goes, I wonder how it would be for you to die in front of this person you saved.
Ow! Like, so menacing. Good. Like, just perfect villainy.
Perfect villainy. So then we get a big fight we come upon the lab portion of this video game, and we get this big, amazing fight in the narcotics level. And even the old lieutenant takes out a couple people too. He moves a little slower, but by goodness, he can use that chair.
He can knock him the fuck out. Fuck a dude up with that chair. I mean, he was throwing some haymakers. He was hitting some big, heavy blows, but nothing flashy, but he got the job done.
Nothing flashy, but he was old school and he got the job done, which I appreciate. Also, there's just like, think about stomping people in the face. Like, one of them stomps that, I think it was Rama, stops that guy in the face and then just moves his foot to break his neck.
Uh-huh.
Like, it was
like,
so...
comes down on him with that combat boot, and then the camera just fixates on the boot on face, almost like he's just putting out a cigarette.
Yes! Stomping him out. Oh my God, it was so crazy. And like, I would just cheer when that shit would happen, and I felt weird about it. I'm like, ha-ha! Damn it! Like,
oh,
just
shit.
The whole time.
Tally mark.
Yeah.
Tally
literally,
mark.
Literally, I just.
Tally mark.
Tally, tally, tally. It was like a phone bill, too. It was like my AT&T bill. I'm just like. So they have this big, amazing fight there. And then as they leave that room, Rama hears screaming. And he sees through a door that his brother Andy is strung up and getting the shit beat out of him by Mad Dog.
Mad Dog doing work.
Mad Dog's doing work. And so Rama goes in to save his brother. And I love that Mad Dog doesn't say anything. He just stops hitting Andy. He goes over to the chain and lets down the chain. How he's chained up, lets him down. Let's Rama unhook him. Never says a word.
Uh-huh.
Let's Rama bandaged up Andy's stabbed hand. Doesn't say a fucking word. And then when he walks to the two of them, he just Jack Spades it, like moves them to the side. He just does his little hand motions like each you move over there. You move over there.
Now let's fucking go.
And now the fucking fight is on.
Holy shit. This one, I mean, everything, every piece of action that we'd seen up until this point, you think, how are you going to fucking top this?
You can't top it.
And then they top it.
And then they top it.
Like, this fight was incredible. Like, the bits where, like, one dude will grab Mad Dog by the leg to swing him up, the other one fucking kicks him.
Yeah.
Like, that was a great shot.
Uh-huh.
Just the, you know, one scrawny little dude fighting these two bigger guys and just fucking wrecking them.
So small and nimble, you know?
God just damn.
Able to just go in it. Yeah, and it just goes on. And just to see how awesome Rama was taking on the machete gang, and then to see him just getting it from Mad Dog was just insane.
And then to further just hammer home Mad Dog's craziness, he takes a broken fluorescent tube to the fucking neck and still goes.
Oh my God. Yeah.
He ain't done yet.
He flipped Rama up and over, which knocked down the fluorescent. Do you think a fluorescent tube is that strong, though, to stab into somebody?
So I happen to know that yes.
Okay.
Not from personal experience, but know that there are fluorescent type of tubes that are built for places that process food and stuff that are specifically designed so that if they ever break, the there's a tube on the outside of the tube so that if pieces break, they break on the inside of this tube so that it doesn't get in your food. And that was one of those tubes. I recognized it because that would be strong enough to like stab someone in the fucking throat.
That was the only problem I had in the movie. The one balcony that they fall on, I was kind of iffy on. And then this was the only problem I had in the movie. But now I know. I didn't Google it. Okay,
now it's legit.
Now it's legit.
Now the raid is based on a true story.
Now it's true. Now it's real life. Yeah. So he gets that tube and Rama or one of them sticks it into his neck. And Mad Dog just keeps fighting and whipping fucking ass. But then it's not until finally Rama gets him and is able, or is it Andy? I can't remember which one. But it takes it and slits his fucking throat with the tube in his neck.
Yeah, so the tube is basically like on the side of his ear.
It's Frankenstein in him.
And then he just drags it to the front of his Adam's apple.
Oh,
fucking brutal.
Dude, I couldn't turn away. I couldn't turn away.
Did that get an oh shit, a goddamn, or a holy fuck?
It got all of them.
It got the trifecta.
I think several of my tally marks came from that moment. Like, I had your, like, up and just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. My muscles don't know where to move. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
it
was so great.
I fucking love this movie.
Yeah. So he does that, and then I think we cut to the lieutenant, who has made his way to the 15th floor.
Yep.
Who's made his way to Tama.
Now they're in his office.
They're in Tama's office, and the lieutenant ties him up, and then another oh shit moment that I didn't see coming. Once he gets Tama tied up, and he shoots the one other remaining SWAT guy in the fucking head.
Totally saw that coming.
I just wasn't thinking. I think I was just still thinking about the light
adrenaline
bulb.
Was still high.
The adrenaline was picking up. I just didn't know if he'd try to get out of there and just, you know, wipe it away. So he shoots the SWAT guy, and he tells Tama that, Tama, you're going to get me out of here. And Tama's like, amazing. So Rama and Andy encounter the lieutenant and Tama on the stairs, and the lieutenant tries to kill Rama and Andy because he's just trying to get the fuck out of there. And Tama tells the lieutenant that he's stuck and that we've been waiting on you. And we got a call from Reza, whatever it is. And I'm assuming, now do you know who Reza is? Because I'm assuming it's the police department?
You find out in the sequel.
Okay, all right, then you don't have to tell it. but he mentions Reza, is it Reza or Reza?
Reza's fine.
Reza and the suits. Actually, they sent the lieutenant there to die.
Yeah.
Like,
because you kind of find out through like secondhand information, like this whole complex is basically allowed to operate because
a lot of people are bought off.
He keeps the right people paid.
Exactly. And which we'll get to that also again, because there's reference that again. But yeah, I just assume it was the department. I might be wrong. But anyways, he says, yeah, you were sent here. They knew you were going to die here. You're not moving up anywhere. You were here to get gotten rid of. And so the lieutenant now is distraught, and he shoots Tama in the head. I loved that slow motion.
Fucking point blanked him.
And then as I sat on the couch and encouraged the lieutenant to shoot his fucking bitch self, he goes to do just that with the gun. And then, of course, there's no bullets.
I could just picture you on your couch. Go shoot your bitch self.
I did. I'm like, shoot yourself. It's all you got now. It's all you can do. Get the fuck out of there, you bitch. Like, that's all I have.
You saw what these two motherfuckers did to Mad Dog. They're going to fucking wreck your shit.
Right. I'm like, you can't. You're not going. You're going to be fucking raped in prison. Just fucking go. Fucking go. Get out of here.
Just go. Fucking skedat.
So he tries to kill himself, and it doesn't work. There's no more bullets, and he drops the gun. A very defeated man.
Mm.
And so Andy, I believe, sends a message over the PA for the residents to go back to their rooms, that everything is gone and done. And Andy hands over, talking about people being bought off, he hands over recordings of officers who have basically have an agreement with Tama. They were dirty cops.
Yeah, because he's super paranoid. He has all this dirt on him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Andy gives it to Rama.
Right. Rama goes back and gets B out of the wall, out of the apartment 726. And as they're walking to go out of the gate, Rama tries to get Andy to go with him. And Andy's like, you know what? I'm good at what I do. We'll be gone by the time this place goes to get raided.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just going to stick with it, brah. See you later, brah.
Deuces.
Deuces, brah. And then that.
Deuces, brah.
I'll tell Machette you said hello or goodbye. And then they part ways, and that's the end. I love that shot above them of them walking away from each other, of them parting ways from each other.
I also,
such a good metaphor.
I also love the last shot of the camera is just kind of fixated on Rama as Rama is walking towards the camera, mm-hmm. and the gate closing behind him. And you can see the brother kind of like fading out as the gate closes. And then Rama like almost looks at the camera,
mm-hmm.
but then just kind of like looks away and then like exits stage left.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great fucking last shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Super good. And then that is the end of the movie.
That is the motherfucking raid.
Ooh, I love it. Loved it 100%.
Would you say that this is now immediately your favorite action movie of all time?
Ooh.
Because Shoot 'em Up was high on your list.
Shoot 'em Up was super high on my list. Yeah, but John Wick was always the... Yeah, I think this one has to be.
This one beats Wick.
It just surpassed... I mean, I probably would... Oh, God, I don't even know. This was definitely... Oh, shit. God, I do love Keanu. Yeah, I don't know. I think this is the most ballsy, awesome action movie I've seen. Yeah,
fuck
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with a movie like John Wick, and again, we talked about this earlier in the podcast, there's bits of action and then, you know, 20, 30 minutes of mm-hmm. Keanu trying to put pieces together of whatever, trying to go to his tailor and get his awesome suit or go to this place and get
right.
this awesome
I do
gun.
I do like that flair.
Yeah, and then, you know, but this with the raid... Here are the dudes. Here's the situation. Fucking fight.
I love how simple it is.
Yeah.
And not simple in a bad way. Like, I love how good and simple it is.
I mean, you could essentially...
Here's your premise. Here's what you've got to do. Here's your mission. Blah, blah, blah.
You could have called this fight scene the movie, and it wouldn't have changed fucking
right.
anything.
Right.
I mean, this. You take some of these action stars over their 20, 30-year careers, and they don't have a highlight reel that's as good as this movie.
Right, exactly.
Like, fuck, do I love this movie. And it had mm-hmm. been a few years since I watched it. Reviewing it again before we came in to talk about it today, I was like, God damn it, why do I not watch this more?
Right.
Like, holy shit.
So it was still, I
feel
like.
I love everything.
I feel like if I popped it, like, I watched it twice in a row. The second time was just as exciting as the first. And I feel like every time I watch it since, it's going to be just as fucking exciting.
It is.
Yeah.
It held up so well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2011 is when this movie came out.
Right.
Nothing since 2011 has wowed me action wise that much.
Okay.
I mean, The Raid 2 is really good, mm-hmm. and there are some fights that actually go above what happens here.
Mm-hmm.
One fight in particular that I'm thinking of that's fucking amazing.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll just pop that fight on and just watch that sequence. I'm
right.
like, yeah, it's fucking good. And, you know, like I mentioned earlier, whenever a movie comes out, it's like, oh, the Raid Boys are in it. I'm like, I'm watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And the action is always fucking top notch.
Nice.
But there's just something about this movie, just the way it was done, the way it was shot, it was the perfect storm of fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. I love it.
I'm glad you loved it. I mean, obviously, I have to give this 5 holy shits out of 5.
I give it 5 floors out of 5.
5 floors out of 5. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah.
We have another winner here at
Yay!
Huntsville Home Video. Toss Woo-hoo! It up on the recommendation of the month board.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, go watch it. Go fucking watch it. Get your mind blown.
Uh-huh.
I'm in.
Everyone that I, because we've talked about before how there was a time in my life where I was like very, like that cinema
cinephile
junkie.
Cinephile asshole.
Cinephile asshole, yeah.
Trench coat wearing motherfucker.
So when I was on my Asian cinema kick, you know, it was like Japanese horror, it was obscure action, it mm-hmm. was all these movies that were internet darlings. I'm like, you guys got to fucking watch this.
Right.
And my friends, for the most part, would, you know, they'd oblige and be like, yeah, I checked it out. Yeah, this wasn't for me. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. Fucking nerd.
Yeah, you don't know what you're talking about.
But no one that I have shown the raid to has walked away unimpressed or disappointed.
Right.
Like, how could you?
No. In fact, if anybody ever mentions action movie, I'm going to recommend it to everyone.
Right.
Hey, have you seen The Raid? Oh, my gosh. I am Mini Jet. Hey, have you seen The Raid? Hey, have you seen The Raid? Blow your fucking balls off.
Oh, shit. And that's coming from someone who hasn't even seen a lot of action movies.
Right.
Like, you have one Schwarzenegger film to your credit, and that's Kindergarten Cop.
It wasn't even action. I mentioned that to somebody the other day, and they just looked at me like, who? What?
Because that's the appropriate reaction.
It's an appropriate reaction.
Yeah.
Like, I've got to watch Predator just to get it out of the fucking way.
I mean, Predator, Terminator 1 and 2.
Right.
Fucking Conan.
Right.
My God.
I'm so sorry.
This is almost like your, I haven't seen a lot of movies, but I've seen In Bruges.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen one Schwarzenegger movie, but hey, I've seen The Raid.
I didn't even know that until, by the way, check out our review of Kindergarten Cop, which I confused with RoboCop, which are previous episodes.
You can find those at HuntsvilleOnVideo.com.
Right. Or wherever you stream your podcast.
So if you want to see the comic book version of The Raid,
okay,
watch Dread.
Dread.
Now there's
isn't
two,
there a Judge Dread?
There is a Judge Dread movie with Sylvester Stallone. That movie's dog shit.
Okay, so it's like The Shield and Agents of Shield.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go with that, you fucker.
Yes.
So Dread was done in it was a couple years after The Raid, actually, and Carl Urban was played Judge Dredd in this one, and it is basically,
who's Carl Urban?
Carl Urban, he's in I forget, have you watched The Boys?
No.
That's unfortunate.
You've told me a lot about The Boys.
He's in that. He's in the new Star Trek movies.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
So he's a New Zealander.
Yes, he is.
I don't think that's how they talk over there. I think that was Australian. I think that was super good Australian. It was not New Zealand.
We'll ask our contingent of loyal Australian listeners.
Yes, was that good Australian? I can't recreate it. You're just going to have to rewind.
And they're going to say, fucking bloody hell no.
And be like, we hate this bitch. Could she just leave and Jack do the podcast?
Or they might really like you. Maybe that's where our Australian fan base is coming from. Maybe,
you know,
maybe they like you, they hate me.
I have a simple charm.
Yeah, you sure do.
Yeah.
I have a simple charm. But yes, Dread is basically the comic book version of The Raid. Like, you don't get all the awesome fights, but you basically get some cool shots. You have Judge Dread going into this super deluxe high-rise run by a drug kingpin. He has to work his way to the top floor.
Okay.
Fuck shit up. Great movie.
So a Judge Dread is a character.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Stallone played him one time, but we don't.
Yeah, the less we say about that.
Okay,
movie,
that's
the
fine.
Better.
I'm just clarifying.
In fact, one day we'll probably...
I don't want a Kindergarten RoboCop again. Okay, I'm trying to get my shit straight.
Well, one day we'll probably double feature. We'll do a double feature of Judge Dredd and Dread, so you can see which one.
Okay.
See for yourself.
Okay, that's good.
If I had to sit through fucking Judge Dredd, well, you can too.
Okay. I like it.
So what do we do next week? We've gone to the depths of fucking addiction last week.
Right.
We've gone to the heights of holy fuck action this week.
I think that we should keep people and us on our toes and go complete 180.
All right.
And let's talk about love.
All right.
Let's talk a little bit about love.
Last time you wanted that, I gave you True Romance.
Yeah, you did.
Which is one of your favorite movies of all times
you
now.
You did, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about we go love again?
You want to go lovey-dovey? Okay, well, I'm gonna
let you pick love. You tell me which love you want.
All right, well, since we got love and violence with True Romance,
mm-hmm.
and we've had just copious amounts of violence this week. I'll try to cut back on that.
Okay.
We'll just go kind of a more rom-com type movie.
All right.
A Jack Spade romantic comedy would be Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Never seen it. Always wanted to watch it.
Excellent.
Yes.
I'm still on edge every time when you're like, oh, I've never seen it. Like, you can still get me with it. I'm like, oh, I swear to God, if this bitch has seen that.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. That's why I do it every time. I'm going to do it till it doesn't work anymore.
Okay.
That's how that works.
I just have to get a better poker face, apparently.
Poker face. Whew. Tell me if that was a good Lady Gaga.
Negative, Ghost Rider.
It was not.
Even the Australians that like you are like,
No, too simple.
Fucking nah.
Fucking nah, mate.
Fucking nah.
What? All right.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall is what we'll do next week.
Never seen it. Always felt like I needed to watch it and then I would love it. But yeah, never saw it.
Okay.
I'm
a big fan of it. I like
All
it.
Right.
As far as like rom-coms go.
Okay.
I don't know if you could even technically call this a romantic comedy. Fuck it. I'm calling it a romantic comedy. I don't give a shit.
All right. Hey, guess what? We do this podcast so we can do whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah.
Bitches.
Retroactively, since we can do whatever we wanted, I'm going to give Raid the Academy Award for Best Movie of 2011.
I support your decision.
Their acceptance speech was just 5 minutes of Mad Dog whooping all the other contenders' asses.
Just picking them out through the seats, the aisles. Just bam.
Let me see. What won Best Picture in 2011? I'm going to find out. Hold on.
Do the Oscars even matter?
No.
They don't fucking matter. It's just, it's so ridiculous. And then they just, there wasn't enough of this year. So then they fill it up and then they go and they move. And it's like, we didn't have enough women.
The motherfucking King's Speech? You're telling me that the King's Speech was a better movie than the fucking Raid in 2011?
I remember that being a big deal.
Man, Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, you suck a fart right out of my ass.
Wasn't it something about dude with a hair lip or a...
Yeah, some...
impediment?
Some fucking...
Hair lip, man, impediment. There's different things.
Again, retroactively, Mad Dog fucking up Colin Firth in the King's Speech. Like, that's...
Everybody thinks Colin Firth's hot. I'm not...
You're not feeling that?
I don't feel that.
You're not
Colin
feeling
Firth.
That? Okay. Fuck a King's Speech. The Raid, baby.
The Raid's where it's at, man.
Best Picture 2011 at the Huntsville Home Video Awards, the motherfucking Raid.
Make that trophy, put it on your wall.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to take one of your Abby Awards, because you got two of them.
No, you're not.
And I'm going to put the Raid
no, you're
on
not.
It. Okay.
No, it's okay.
Whoa.
You cannot.
Like, you got the fucking psycho peepers on me right there.
Jack, it's all I have.
Well, if I ever win an award, uh-huh. other than Most Improved Student in Fourth Grade, I am going to give it to the Raid.
Okay, that's commendable.
Hey, if I just won this $25 gift card, can I give it to the Raid for being the best picture of 2011?
I have a $25 gift card to Taco Mama. Should I just send it over?
Send it to the Raid boys.
All right, I think they deserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they deserve all of the accolades for the injustice of not even being nominated. The King's Speech.
Right.
Man, how many fucking times are you going to rewatch that piece of shit?
Right.
And go, oh, shit. Like, when the king gives his proper enunciation on a word, oh, shit. That doesn't happen.
Look at that well-used preposition.
When Rama drives a motherfucker's throat through a goddamn broken door, and you're all like, fucking Bagal!
Bagal's my new favorite Jack thing, and I don't know why. It's so heartfelt, just Bagal.
The King's Speech, 0 fucking Bagals out of 5. You ever seen the King's Speech?
Absolutely not. You know
we
why?
Will not
because
be
fuck the King's
we
Speech.
We will not be reviewing that on Huntsville Home Video.
No, fuck that hoity-toity bullshit.
Fucking Best Picture 2011, The Raid. We'll see if you're this excited next week for a rom-com. I can't wait.
All right.
We'll chat about Forgetting Sarah Marshall next week. Until then, hit us up on all those social media platforms. Leanne, where could one find those social media platforms of
just
ours?
Just type in an at.
Let me take this one. Maybe you should go watch the King's Speech.
No, it's HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com at HSV Home Video on your Twitters, your Instas, your Facebooks.
Mm-hmm.
All your social meds.
We don't have that TikTok bullshit.
Fuck a TikTok. I won't do it.
You won't.
I won't do it. You can have one if you want to, but you're going to go down a notch in my book.
Ouch,
if you do.
Ouch.
I won't do it.
Nope.
I refuse.
I don't want that.
Would you get a TikTok?
Not anymore.
Not if
you're going to hate me that much.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
no.
just the sheer look of disdain and disgust.
It is disdain. The best word to describe it is pure disdain.
Hey, Leon, I started up a Huntsville Home Video TikTok. You're just going to give me the...
There's nothing worse than an adult on TikTok. The only thing right under that is anyone else on TikTok.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
F all of you.
Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Fuck off with a TikTok.
Fuck off with your talks.
While you're hitting us up on all those social media platforms that are not TikTok, you should also follow Underboss Photography, _photography
mm-hmm.
at Instagram. You should check out all of their fantastic work, of which they do a lot of it, a mm-hmm. wide range
yes.
of photography. If you're in the Huntsville area, you should book them for an appointment. See what creative, awesome shots they can put together for you. Thanks, Underboss Photography, for being a film buff and for liking our podcast.
Thank you for... subscribing to my simple charm.
It is a very simple charm.
Thanks.
The best way to describe it.
That's the best way. That's going on the header of my resume.
We're a simple podcast with some simple charm. Love it. So we'll be back next week. Until next time, be kind, rewind. Fucking Bagow!
Yeah.